Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's when you're talking about like in the air, there's not as high as you can jump. That's one thing.
Yeah.
The difference between a Michael Jordan and a LeBron James jumping is one looks better in the air. Grace.
They do this.
Understanding his body, understanding how to move, like you're painting in the air. Mm-hmm. There's only a few people that can do that. And it has nothing to do with the jumping ability itself. It's just, he has a 38-inch vertical, but he can make it look like a 46.
Actually, I'll challenge you on that, right? Mm-hmm. Because everything tracks back to markets, right? Mm-hmm. Athletes are a market, and you know, you got a $47 million a year as like the pinnacle of that market. So everybody's going to flood into that, mm-hmm. right? But who makes that very, very top of that pyramid? It's guys that are built a certain way, have certain genetic advantages, not all, but by and large, rank and file, right? Mm-hmm. That's who gets those jobs. And then there are a few outliers like Ja Morant or Steph or something like that, mm-hmm. right? But the reality is, when you walk down that pyramid, even a little bit, you start running into a lot of talent, a lot of really amazing talent that just haven't had the opportunity. So we think that there's like a ton of like incredible athletes that just don't have a road because they don't have the build or the genetics or what have you to be able to get to the top of that pyramid.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with Mason that too. Like, you know, those guys that's coming out of the maybe D3 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Them guys might be the hogs that go out there because they really want it. They don't really care too much. You know, you lose that sense of trying to stay on your feet in slam ball. That's what I look at when I see another guy trying to play. Like, he's trying to land on his feet too much, you know? So eventually he going to reach to a point where he don't want to go no higher. Yeah, you know, because he can't control his body. Now he's scared. I'm done. He's done. He out of here, you know. But the guys that really don't care, they'll test the limit and just go as far as they can and just know that you can just bail out, just fall, you know, you're going to be more safe if you fall out and land on your side than you are landing on your feet. So once you grasp that idea, then that's the guys I'm looking at first, you know.
We had a guy come out to our camp who had the best basketball resume probably that's ever tried out for slam ball. I'm not gonna name his name or anything, but
drop the dime, man.
This guy was better. That had a better resume than anybody that ever tried out for slam ball. Like 4 years of college, all conference, the whole nine yards. Like first team all conference. You know, cusp all American, all that kind of stuff. And he came out and did the training, was a total pro about it, but he had this chip on his shoulder, like, I'm about to kill all these guys. And then he's driving on a sideline fast break, some linebacker dude comes and knocks him over the glass into the team box, and I saw him just get up, shake his head, and he just walked out of the building. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. It's like, you got to be built for this.
A lot of hoopers not built for that. I would probably do the same thing.
It's like elements in. It's going to be stars in different parts of the game.
That's right.
Because you're going to be great at what you do.
You one of them, bro. Like, you know.
Like, it's just one of those things. Like even if, like, let's just say someone has a 48-inch vertical, right? Mm. And he has all the grace in the world, but he don't want to get hit.
Yeah.
Right.
He can't be a star. He can't be a star. Like, no matter how good he looks, he can't be a star. Or you got someone who's actually scared of heights. I was a Just because when you said like them limits, you, there's a certain range where certain people's minds like this is too high for me. Yeah. I was at City Walk. I was what's the walk climbing?
Yeah.
I was an instructor of my junior year, but I was scared of heights. So I used to have to practice, and like I will go as fast as I want to a certain one, and I wouldn't go no more. It's like, all right, come on down. Like, and it's, that's gonna be some people's minds. Yeah. Like, you get to a certain height. So it's like trying to figure out how do you test guys mentally to know their capability.
Yeah, it's all between the ears, right? So when you get up in the air, you're actually decelerating as fast as physics will allow. So by the time you look at it on TV and somebody runs and then they hit and then they come down and it looks like a car crash in NASCAR and you're like, oh my God. But by the time they make any kind of contact, they've completely slowed down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now you're just your brother and sister like falling in a trampoline in the mm-hmm. backyard, right? Happens 10,000 times every hour everywhere in America. Mm-hmm. Actually, the higher you get, the more time you have to like figure out how you're going to fall, right? And in basketball, you're always trying to land to your feet. In slam ball, once you take off towards the hoop, you're not trying to land to your feet. You're just trying to crash out safely to your side or your mm-hmm. back or your front. And it typically works out really well.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great just because there's been so much experience since, right? Mm-hmm. With, you know, Dojo Boom, the places we go to, me and the kids, like my yeah. son's sister and flips all day. They have now basketball courts.
Yeah.
So all the kids go there just to try to dunk on each other. So you really do have a lot more experience with guys jumping, kids jumping, knowing how to land.
Well, how can I get you on the slam ball court? Like with Stan, because that's 20 million views on YouTube. That's like 40 million views on TikTok. Like right there.
Listen, I jump
higher. And you're afraid of heights.
I jump higher off the floor than I want on the trampoline. I'll be sitting like, all right. Okay.
That's great.
Before we go any further, Jill, you were a rock climbing instructor?
Yeah,
that's wild.
Junior, what, high school, college?
Junior high? Come on, I was even junior high school, college.
Okay. My bad, Jill. You're right.
High school, like, you know, the summer jobs.
How much do they pay you an hour?
Like $5 an hour. It was family friend, right? I was just happy to get paid. I was getting paid.
Is that how you paid for this house? Like, by the way, what about this house? Like, there's a talking octopus back there. Like, this house is amazing. Who hurt you, Gil?
Oh, no.
Who hurt you? What are you trying to buy to fill that hole in your heart?
It was right when Donald Trump kicked in, right? So, the market was coming down. People were trying to offset. So when I was house looking, I just seen a guy who had a lot of property. And I was like, okay, a lot of these properties are on sale, right? Mm-hmm. So you're trying to see he's trying to cash out. Mm-hmm. So I seen it. It was at 3-4, 2-1 cash. What's happening? Mm-hmm. He's like, all right.
Damn.
Okay. That's amazing. All right. No argument here.
Yeah. That's right? Amazing.
You know, and then I just sat on it trying to figure out what I was going to do. Wasn't even looking for a house.
Wow.
And then, you know, he took the offer without any bite. I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm got a new house.
You should have a Property Brothers show. That was amazing. That's cool.
And I'm not nosy, but I did look at the Zillow's estimate not too long ago, so you definitely came up on that one. That was a good move. Savvy business move.
Mogul.
So let's, Stan, talk a little bit about the OG days of slam ball. What are your favorite memories from back in those days?
I don't know. I guess when Michael Blanks flew off the court. No, that ain't my first one. When we first did it, we didn't have no barrier.
No, we could only afford the hockey wall on one side of the court.
Only on one side. So the other side was just in the court is 6 feet off the ground, like the whole platform. So this whole sign right here is if you go too far, you fall off. So, you know, and then you're trying to get used to the trampolines or whatever. And you know when you're on that side, because you're going to cut your bounce short a little bit. Mm. And some people didn't cut their bounce short, but that was my favorite part. I think for me, more gratifying was when Mason sent me and him and Mike Tolan gave me the okay to go to China. And then I got to train about maybe what, 1,000 kids, 1,000, 1,500 kids, something like that. you know, in China, just on slam ball. We got our slam ball court on college universities in China. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm on Peking University, I'm on Wuhan University, I'm Nanjing University. Like, these are huge places in China that respectfully are like Princeton and Howard, you know, and we have our slam ball court in there. And I got I got eight teams at each court that's all training to play slam ball tournaments. So I end up with 32 teams playing a university slam ball tournament and training people how to train and slam ball. It's like, so just coming from all the way back then to East LA, going through all this slam ball stuff. Mm-hmm. We went up, down. We thought we was going to make it. I was like, we about to get this brand. I thought I was going to be in here with this. And then we come back, and then it's like, we got to rebuild again. You know, we wasn't ready. We didn't have social media. We didn't have all these other platforms to help boost us. But we always been on TV. We always had something really positive that said, this is something. This is something. We didn't give up. And so going from the beginning to there, and now here, this is just great. It's gratifying for me. I can't really call like what's the best thing, but that for me that was huge going to influence the game from a grassroots level.
I'm gonna raise my hand, and I think I'm gonna stop with the 80s players. I'm gonna stop. The reason why is this. I was watching slam ball. I seen it, right? And when you said this is the Dr. J, right? And the problem with the Dr. J is there's going to be a Jordan, then there's going to be a LeBron and a Kobe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And once the Jordan comes and all that, we forget about the originator, right? And the frustration of the originator, which you guys are lucky that this infrastructure wasn't in and we didn't have the infrastructure when I was there, because it wouldn't be no you. Mm. And that's probably the same thing Dr. J is saying about Jordan, that you guys are lucky I didn't have the infrastructure Jordan had, or right, I would be Jordan, right? So how I talk shit about the 80s, right? I actually get a firsthand experience because I was part of it. I looked at it, I was watching it. You know, my friends are in it, my high school teammates are there. Everyone I know was a part of it. Mm-hmm. And seeing them from the ground, knowing that we didn't have this side of the court. The court started right here. So the things that you guys have now that's making you great, we didn't have, we had to create it. Mm-hmm. So you're looking down on me when I created this whole thing you have now from my abilities, from the trial. So now I understand the 80s a little bit better when they had commercial flights and after games, and they had to back to back, they had to sit there and do all. Now I can really understand, and this is my fault. I get you. I get you now. I get you now. That's cool. I was really hard on them.
I would tell you the story that really jumps out at me is kind of my favorite is when we were in the warehouse in East LA, and I had basketball guys and I had football guys, and the football guys would hit the basketball guys, and the basketball guys would throw their hands up and want to fight. like the football guys were like, "What? I'm playing. This the game, right?" Uh-huh. The football guys didn't know when to stop. Mm-hmm. The basketball guys just couldn't roll with it, right? And I'm just, I'm like this. I'm like, Jesus Christ, what the. All right, we're going to go to lunch, all right? Mm-hmm. And then we're going to come back. We're going to figure this shit out. And I actually was like yelling. I was yelling at you guys. Remember this? Yeah. And I lined them up, and I walked back and forth, and I was like, this is high school football tough. If you can't be high school football tough, you shouldn't get paid to play anything. Mm-hmm. Go back to the YMCA, right? What a reference, YMCA.
I think you said get the fuck out of here.
I think I might have said that. I don't curse anymore. I stopped cursing at some point. But here was the thing. Everybody left to go to lunch, and I pulled the meanest football dude aside, this guy from Chicago, and I pulled him aside, and I said, he was the one that stand.
Wait, was it Chicago?
No, it was in L.A., but he
no, was. Was that Chicago?
No. His name was Jeff. And I pulled Jeff aside. He was the one Stan wanted to fight every 5 minutes. And so I pulled Jeff aside, and I was like, hey, Jeff, when we come back from lunch, I'm gonna check into the game, and I want you to hit me harder than you've hit anyone in your life and make sure everybody sees it. And I was like, can you do that, Jeff? And Jeff goes, I've been wanting to hit you since the first minute of listening to your dumbass talk. Please check into the game. I will make sure I make the most of it, right? And I remember this. I checked into the game, and everybody was like, what the hell is he in the game? What the hell is going on? And so they go to inbound the ball, and this guy comes running at me from like 25 feet away, and I just turn, and he destroys me, cracks three of my ribs, and I get up, and I'm wheezing, but I keep playing. Mm-hmm. And so Stan and the other basketball players were like, okay, well, if he can get hit, mm-hmm. and he's cutting our checks, then maybe we can roll with it. So it was like kind of the glue mm-hmm. of getting basketball and football players to play the same sport was me going to the hospital and getting checked out. So.
I broke three ribs for the vision.
Yeah.
That's real shit.
It's like, ooh, I've been waiting for this shit. Let me go ahead and back up, right? Wipe my feet off, man.
All right, so let's look. Obviously, some mixed basketball and football. So I want both of y'all, give me one current NBA player and one current NFL player that you think would be great at slam ball.
Ja. I mean, Ja is it, man. Like, if we can find somebody, not necessarily Ja because he's one-on-one, right? But if we can find somebody who makes you feel the way Ja makes you feel on the court, then we're winning. If we can find somebody that makes you feel the way Zion makes you feel when you watch him play.
I feel like I'm worried about him hitting that trampoline.
Nah, it's actually kind of amazing because it's so the action is when it's happening to you, it feels slow, even though on TV it feels like it's all happening lightning fast, right? So you actually like get out of the hardwood, and then you're flying into the bed, and you actually have a little bit of a moment to think and consider and figure out, am I going to do a double windmill? Am I going to pull the ball through my legs and then go behind my back for a one trap lob or any number of things, right? So it's really like Ja, Zion are kind of the model. Mac McClung, mm-hmm. if there was a guy like Mac in slam ball, I think people would go crazy for it, right? So I think those are kind of the basketball kind of things. And then in the football, it's really DBs, it's linebackers, it's like guys who can come to it and play with like a lot of joy. So like an Odell or someone like that, that really has a ton of personality. And that's the thing, is I think we can like select for guys that palpably play with joy, and that's going to make you love slam ball. You won't even realize why you love it so much. It's just these guys are having the time of their life.
How about the ones that play basketball? Was it Donald, the football player?
Aaron Donald?
Doesn't he play football?
Yeah. Aaron Donald, yeah.
I think he would be a beast on any.
Yeah, he's so
good. Because that's why he's dunking on everybody, right?
Yeah. I haven't seen him dunking, but
when he's hooping? Yeah, in the offseason?
No, who's the one who played in the All-Star game?
Oh, no. You're talking about Myles Garrett.
Somebody like him.
Myles Garrett would be the best.
Okay.
Like, who's getting in between?
I mean, football dudes are haters by trade. I think eventually they're going to try to take the sport.
They're going to try to take over the sport.
Take over the whole sport. Now, take all the basketball guys, move us out.
I love that you said that, because we tried to get one of the teams called the haters. I thought that would be great.
But all football players.
Yeah, exactly.
Make them wear helmets and cover up.
Yeah.
They got so much anger and angst underneath the helmet because nobody can see their face.
That's the funny part. Just naturally football players. Why is that? Football players and basketball players just has this.
Awesome theory. So give us like 50 of them in the league, right? And Kyle just like 90. So nobody knows who they are. You know what I mean? Like, if you see him on campus, that's one of the big dudes. He might be an O-lineman, whatever. Uh-huh. We're visible.
You see our grills, you see the face
the whole time. They're wrapped up in helmets with the visors, all that stuff. Nobody really knows who they are. So they do all this tremendous stuff, and they can't even really get the pat on the back for it. Mm-hmm. You see him walking on the street like, you a big dude. You probably play football. I don't know your name, but... You probably play for me. Obviously, Aaron Donald, the big name guys, the Tom Brady's of the world, but it is what it is. I asked you the same question, but I'll just keep it limited to basketball. Looking at one player in the league now, who do you think would be the ideal slam ball?
I think of it a little bit differently. I would say, like, a guy like Jrue Holiday can do, like, everything on the floor. There's no limit of what he can do. Mm-hmm. He's not, like, the greatest on any skill, but he stands out every time. And like, it takes you in slam ball to do a lot of different things at one time, and mm-hmm. to be fearless. So I think somebody with a skill set like a Jrue Holiday would be dope in slam ball.
But you remember when Ja was taking off on people and missing, and you were just like blown away by the miss? Like, whoa, the commitment was like out of control. That's what makes a great slam ball player. And then he started catching people for real. And it's like he had to build up to that. But like what we're looking for is those guys that just get up in the air.
Zach Levine's type of guys like that.
Yeah, Zach's phenomenal. It's just Zach isn't going after everyone the way Ja is. Ja got a chip on his shoulder. He's like, I'm the only small guard in the entire league almost.
Derrick Roses. Derrick Roses.
Old school.
Yeah, because he's built like that.
Derrick
right?
Roses.
You think I can dunk on you?
Right
can
now?
You please make
that. Oh, slam ball?
Oh, not really. I can't touch the backboard. What are you talking about?
Slam ball?
I can't touch the backboard.
I'm not good with the trampoline. I'm not good maneuvering on the trampolines, but. I'm so scared, and I was gonna ask you, but I just felt like it didn't make sense. But injuries from previous to now, like, was
I'm glad you asked that.
But that was my thing, like watching back and damn, like shit, I don't know how to land properly to do this shit.
Yeah, so we train people how not to get hurt, right? Mm-hmm. And the training really goes a long way. So even though it's a contact sport like football or rugby, our injury rates. This is football and rugby up here, and we're way down here with basketball. So our injury rates are right in line with basketball. Mm-hmm. And typically 25% of our injuries are just a ankle roll, right? And so we found this product called Ankle Roll Guard that straps to the outside of your shoe and has this little sidecar on it, and it catches the spring bed and just puts your foot back into the proper position so you don't roll your ankle just from fatigue, right? So the craziest thing is that we think we can get our injury rates under basketball. And that's with basketball and football players playing the same sport. Because as crazy as the shit looks on TV, right? You're falling into a trampoline. There's no better like safety mechanism on earth than falling into that trampoline.
So what kind of shoes are being used?
Basketball? It was basketball shoes at first.
Yeah. You know, you're gonna ruin your ankle anyway.
Right.
It's okay. So, because I never rolled ankles. Because I ran track, I used to always
you have rubber ankles.
Yeah, always used to do this. This is just part of track, just making sure you're on the outside of your ankles all the time. So whenever I landed like this.
Yeah.
Right. So there's like certain type of shoes that like if I'm Anthony Davis, Anthony Davis better off in Chucks. Right? Because what happens is when you start getting shoes that has these big platforms,
right.
When your ankle rolls, it has a further distance.
Right. Yeah.
Right? You know, Chucks is, there's nothing, there's really nothing there. So there's like, even with like someone like Kobe's, right? They put this little extra little extension on it.
Yep.
Well, what happens is if your ankle goes over that extension, your ankle's gone.
Well, the truth is when you and I are walking around, just your body weight on the wrong ankle on a regular step will break your ankle, right? So everybody's living with that exposure. And the idea that the thing that we kept running into is it's really only fatigue on the slam ball court. So when you're on the court for the first half hour, the first hour, you're really precise about your foot positioning. 90 minutes in, your foot positioning starts to slide. 2 hours in, your foot positioning starts to slide. So we noticed in the data, because our entire organization is data driven, right? We noticed that the injuries were happening at the end of these sessions. So this ankle roll guard just catches the bed and just puts your foot down in the right position without you even thinking about it. So if we get through training camp and our injury rates are below what they've been in the past, and that simple ankle roll is 25% of our injuries, so we have a really good chance to cut into those numbers. Then I think, you know, we can make the claim that we're on par with or safer than basketball.
Fatigue is all injury sports, really.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, when you really think about it, it's mostly because you're not in the tip-top shape trying to do the same things that you think you can do, but you can't.
So last question for both of you. Mason, I'll let you go first.
Sure.
Actually, no, Stan, I'm going to let you go first. Because I know you're going to really bring the gusto with it. But, you know, you've been out in China, spreading the movement, planting the seeds, really trying to make this an international sport. So what are your visions for slam ball now and in the future?
Well, immediately, it's just trying to find the right guys that can play. Because we took the sport as far as it can come right now. But we do have a lot of history of knowing, you know, where it can go and how much we didn't have
leading up to now, like I didn't have, like we said, we didn't have anybody teaching us what to do when we got out there. Now we got people that we can come in and have a whole training program ready for these guys, and they can take it from there. So moving up, I'm just trying to see what guys are committed, can see the same opportunity that we saw with this, and kind of carry the torch, right? And those are guys we want to put all of our energy into and make sure that they, you know, they have all the skills ready. So when they come out, and we're going live this year, you know, we're doing slam ball live. We never did that before. You know, now we're not going back and taking an edit and say, oh, this dude, you know, he messed up. Cut that out real quick. You know what I mean? So whatever.
We only did that the first season.
Yeah, but I mean, just saying, you know, so it means a lot to me because this is a legacy for me too. And, you know, for Mason also, like, so I just want to see guys with the mentality and the heart, just, I want to give this a really good shot. And, you know, I don't want whatever work you guys put in before now to go unnoticed or unrecognized. I want to carry that torch and get this the biggest shot I can, you know, right now. So that's my thing moving up. And we have a lot of different things that we've been thinking about on how the sport is supposed to look. You know, with the team, you know, a team has its own vibe, it has its own culture to it. You know, not only just the sport, but each team has its vibe. Like the Pistons, you knew what that was back in the day. Yeah. You knew what you got. And we want to create that vibe for each team and make sure that, you know, all the players understand, you know, how important this is, this opportunity is right now to give it 100%. Like, that's it, you know. So I'm coming in with I'm not playing anymore. I'm not thinking about playing no more. I'm just thinking about which guys can I put all my energy into and say, hey, I want to see you do good. I want to see this happen the way it didn't happen for me, or whatever resources was not available for me when we was playing it. I want you to take advantage of that, and I want to see you, you know, succeed. So.
And Mason, the same question for you. What's your vision for slam ball now and then in the future?
Well, you know, we went and started going out to people and like broadcasters and brand partners and venues and the whole nine yards. And we thought we would have to like convince people like, nah, this is real. Nah, this is legit. Cause that's what I've been doing for 20 years. And it's weird because I've been saying the exact same thing. And for the longest time, I was an idiot. And now all of a sudden, people are saying things like, that's brilliant. And I'm just like, well, it's the exact same thing. So the crazy thing is that, you know, people are just, we hit this like weird algorithmic Venn diagram of nostalgia and young people on social media. And if we can connect the dots between those two audiences, we're gonna come out of the gate with way wider appeal than people are expecting. So I think it's pretty clear we're gonna make a really strong splash this summer. And then what's crazy is we've got a really great organization that we're building that includes former players, that includes, you know, MLS executives and things like that, so that we can improve the product year over year, so that you really have continuity and we can tell the stories. That's it. I mean, we're going to tell the stories over a multi-year period. People are going to fall in love with our athletes, fall in love with the stars, be able to follow the narratives. And then in the off season, we're going to do international events, right? And bring the best players back to slam ball. So what took the NBA, you know, 20 years to globalize their game, we're going to do it in just a handful of years. And then 4 or 5 years down the road, there's a World Cup format. There's the Olympics. Oh, no, okay, I sound like a crazy person right now. But it's legit. Like, we've distributed slam ball all around the world, and the television ratings have been spectacular. So we know that people are into this. I'll end on this point. There's only two sports highlights that cross every cultural and political dividing line in the entire world, and that's the soccer goal and the basketball slam dunk. Mm-hmm. And when they write the story about this, I hope that the narrative goes something like, these guys recognize that the slam dunk had so much power culturally, and then nobody owned it. And then we built a whole sport around it that the world fell in love with. And that's our fondest hope for where we're going.
Well, that's real. Well, y'all be in Vegas this summer. We're gonna be in Vegas this summer.
Let's go ahead
and link up, get it cracking. But Mason, Stan, we appreciate y'all pulling up to the show. This has been another episode of No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. We'll be back with more very soon.